Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Soto Daf Chof Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 3 lines from the top of Daf Chof Hey. Before we begin the shiur, let's take note of some of the structural aspects of today's Daf. On the upper part of the page in the margin, you'll notice a mivne, a structural note. You'll notice a diamond is featured. This indicates Sidro Shel Shelos, a series of questions. Shnei HaRishonos Be'inyan Isha HaOiveres Al Das. The first 2 questions refer to a woman who violates Jewish practice. When we speak about Jewish practice, we're referring to behavior that's not becoming of a woman, lacking in the full sense of modesty. We'll take a look at Rashi shortly and see what he comments on that. So just as you scan down the page, you notice the diamond appears several times, as we indicated, a series of questions. The bow tie highlights the fact that the first 2 questions are in reference to this concept of Oiveres Al Das. When we get to Amir Sashem, the third question, so we'll give an introduction to what the topic under discussion is over there. We continue on the side of our Gemara. You notice a Nosei. Nosei is a topic heading, and we've written Oiveres Al Das, a woman who is, as we said, not behaving in a totally modest fashion. Haim tzricha hasra lahafsida ksubasa. A woman who is Oiveres Al Das loses her ksuba payment. The ksuba payment is the payment that's made in the event that a woman is either divorced or becomes widowed. It's a financial type of guarantee that she can materialize if she becomes divorced or widowed. This ksuba payment she stands to lose if she is Oiveres Al Das, and this is actually a Mishnah in Maseches Ksubos, Daf Ayin Beis. The issue here is there a necessity to put her on notice that if she continues behaving thusly, she will lose her ksuba? Under the Mivneh note, you'll see a triangle as Vishu Toshma is highlighted. So as you scan down the page from this point till you hit the next diamond, you'll notice several Toshma that are in triangle. I think you'll see about 3 of them. These are attempts, nisyonos, or attempts, lifshoit she'elo hanal, to resolve this particular question. So now we turn to the Gemara text, Ibai Eloho. A question is raised, Oiveres Al Das. Note that this is a long question. Oiveres Al Das, tzricha hasro, does she need a warning, lahafsida ksubasa, oi eino tzricha, or maybe she doesn't need a warning in order to cause her the loss of the ksuba. And now the analysis, 2 sides of the analysis. Mi amrinon, do we say kevon de oiveres al das hi, since she is one who violates Jewish practice? And it's not too late to look at Rashi. 3rd line from the top, oiveres al das yehudis. The term das yehudis is in contrast to another expression called das moshe. Now das moshe is a woman who is violating actual Torah law. Here, it's Jewish custom, Jewish practice. It's a different term, das yehudis. what does it refer to? Rashi continues, she'enot snua, she's lacking in modesty. Yoitza v'roisha perua, she goes out into the public without her hair being properly covered. I use the word properly covered. It's not a reference to a woman who goes out totally bareheaded, meaning hair totally exposed. That would be das moshe. That would be considered a more severe violation. The Gemara in Ksubas Daf Ayin Beis discusses this at greater length. But suffice it to say that she's not behaving in the standard form of modesty characteristic of proper Jewish women. Number two, v'toyva b'shuk. Tova tevia is the process of spinning wool. She does that in a public area. It's lacks in modesty. If I'm not mistaken, while women are spinning wool, they might tend to roll up their sleeves and certainly to expose parts of their body that are generally covered is a violation of modesty. And umedaberes im kol odom, and she has a woman who has a tendency to chat with all people. The Omar b'ksubas perkamadir, the yoitza shalo b'ksuba. It says there in Masechel Subas that a woman like that is divorced, she's to be divorced and not receive a ksuba payment. The issue that we're dealing with right now is, does she need a warning to that effect? Maybe, in other words, if she receives the warning, maybe she'll change her ways and not have to lose the ksuba, or maybe we say she doesn't need a warning. Without the warning, she'll lose the ksuba anyway. In other words, even without a warning. Now we continue in the Gemara. Having presented the question, and now the analysis, Aleph, mi amrinon keva deveres aldasi lo bay asra. Do we say that since she is behaving in this fashion, she doesn't require hasra? Dilma, tiboy hasra. Maybe the halacha requires a hasra, di e hadra ba tehadr ba. For if she should reverse her ways, the reversal will save her from the loss of the ksuba. Toshma arusa v'shemeres yavam loy shoyseis v'loy noitlois ksuba. We learned in our Mishnah that an arusa, the woman in after she enters the first stage of marriage, she's not fully married in the sense that she hasn't consummated her marriage yet with the husband, but she is considered an Eishes Ish. Shemeres Yavam, the woman, the sister-in-law waiting to marry her brother-in-law in the levirate marriage, if they're warned by their husbands-to-be, warned not to be in private with so-and-so, and they violate that warning and go into private, Lo Shosos, they don't end up drinking the sota water because they're not fully married. However, velo notlos ksuba, they lose the ksuba. Mishtahu delo shasya, ha kinuya mekani lo. We see here there is no drinking. In other words, that's the only thing that's lacking, or that's the only thing that's different from a regular wife, and that is that there's no drinking, but there is a warning. Lemai, what's the purpose of the warning? If the warning is not going to lead to their drinking, so what is the role of the warning where the husband to be says to the arusor, to the shemeres yavam, don't go into private with so and so? What's the purpose of that warning? Lemai, lav lafsido ksubasa, isn't it that which causes the loss of her ksuba? And if he wouldn't warn her, she wouldn't lose the ksuba. So from this approach, we would say that a warning is necessary. And this is an overes aldas. It wasn't mentioned before in Rashi, but it's very clear. It's a woman who goes into private with another man. And this is a woman that, and arus is certainly is married to the orus. The shomeres yavam is earmarked, so to speak, for the oven. What's she going into private with another man? That's an overes aldas. So we see here that a woman who is overis al das, who violates the laws, the laws of modesty, she, in order for her to lose the ksuba, needs to have had a warning. Omar Abaye, lo. Abaye represents the first of two approaches that rejects this conclusion. He says, not so. Li oisra alav. The warning is necessary because after she violates, the warning goes into private with the paramour, so she becomes prohibited then to marry the Oros and to marry the Yavam. Rav Popa Omar, Rav Popa says that the warning, in fact, is not for the loss of the ksuba. The ksuba she would lose anyway, even without the warning. The purpose of the warning is lahashkoisa kishi nesua. The woman having received the, we'll call it the early warning, would result in, if after she in fact marries the Orus or the Yavam, she then goes into private after her marriage to these men, she would then be brought to the Beis HaMikdash to drink the sota waters. Kidisanya, as is taught in this source, Ein Mekanin LaRusa Lashkoisik SheArusa. The Mekanin is the kinui, the warning that's made to an Arusa isn't done so that she'll end up drinking as an Arusa. Avol Mekanin LaRusa Lashkoisik SheNesua. The warning that's issued to an Arusa does result in her drinking if she goes besaser, she goes into private, into seclusion, after they enter Nisuin. So at this point in the Gemara, we thought that the kinui that was referenced in the Mishnah regarding the Arus and the Shemeres Yavam was in order for them to lose the Ksuba, i.e. only with the warning. Not so. The warning is necessary for these other considerations. Abaye's point or Rav Papa's point. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rofa, Toshma. Again, from the Mishnah, it says, said, Almona l'kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutz l'kohen hedyo. A widow that's married to a kohen gadol, a divorcee, or a chalutza that's married to a standard kohen. These are, of course, prohibited marriages. Mamzeres and Asino l'Yisrael. Bas Yisrael l'mamzer l'nosin. And we once again infer from the Mishnah, Mishtahu de Loshasya, since these are marriages that are prohibited, so there's not going to be any drinking. The whole purpose of the drinking is that if she is innocent, so she goes back to being with her husband. In other words, it's a process whose goal is essentially to be able to maintain the marriage. The Torah doesn't want these marriages to be maintained. So there's no drinking here. However, we see that they lose the ksuba. These are cases that had there been it's true there's a violation in the marriage, but a ksuba would have been paid, and here they are going to lose their ksuba. Ha kinuyim akanila. All that's lacking here is that there's no drinking, but there was a warning. Ulamai, what's the purpose of the warning? Ila oisran olav. If the purpose of the warning is like Abaye said above, that they will now become usur to their husbands, but ha'asir and v'kaiman, they're already prohibited. A widow is not to marry a high priest, a divorcee is not to marry a kohen, a rank and file Jew is not to marry a mamzeres. They're already prohibited. So what's the purpose of the warning? Elolav lav sidon ksubasan. The purpose of the warning is for them to lose the ksuba. So what do you see from here? That an oiveres al das, the woman who behaves immodestly, won't automatically lose the ksuba. She'd have to have been warned beforehand. Omar Rav Yehuda midiskarta lo. So he rejects this conclusion, Li'oisra aboyo kebal. The purpose of the warning is that after she goes into private with the paramour, she will now become forever prohibited to that paramour. In the event that, let us say, these forbidden husbands die, the Kohen Godol dies or the Kohen Hedyo dies, so she would become free to marry anyone she wants. But as a result of the kinui that they issued, she will now become prohibited to marry the paramour, just like she was usur to marry the husband. Just like a sota becomes prohibited to her husband, so too she becomes prohibited to the boel, to the paramour. So once again, we thought that we had evidence or Tanaic proof that a warning is necessary in order for her to lose the ksuba, that is an overis al das, and we say no, that's not the purpose of the warning. Amar Rabbi Chanino Misura, Ta Shma, V'elu Shebeisdin Mekanin Lohen. This too we learned in the Mishnah. This too is learned in a Mishnah that there is a situation where the court warns Mishin is charish by law, oi nishtate oi shahoya chavush beis hasurim. Someone whose husband, a woman whose husband became a deaf mute or became insane or he was incarcerated. V'lo lahashkois amru, the warning that Beis Din issues against the woman is not in order for her to drink. Elo lepoisla miksubasa. It is meant for her to lose the ksuba, namely as a result of their warning her not to go into private, and then she violates that and does go into private. She loses the ksuba. So what do we see? We see that the warning is necessary in order for the woman to lose her ksuba. Shma mina boi hasra. Shma mina. So from here, from this quote, we learn that the hasra is necessary in order for her to lose the ksuba. So this final quote from our Mishnah shows us Shma mina, as we just concluded, the ksuba is lost only if she had been warned ahead of time. And who are we talking about? An overis al das. The Gemara asks, this last proof from our Mishnah seems to be very clear. V'kulu mai taimo lo amri meha. All those before, we saw Rava, we saw the first attempt without a name, but the Gemara made an attempt. Why didn't they quote this section of our Mishnah? The Gemara answers that to them this wasn't such an obvious proof. Dilma shiny hosam. It could be that in these cases featured in this last quote, as a general statement, the husband is not around either mentally. He's out to lunch, so to speak, or he's physically not there. He's incarcerated. So in a case where the husband is not around, there's a natural tendency on the part of their wives to be, less on guard. They let their guard down. The tendency is to be a little bit more relaxed, a little more frivolous. And therefore, it wouldn't be fair for them to lose the ksuba unless there was a warning. So the Gemara says, Dilma shiny hosa, maybe in that case, in those cases, it's different. The lesla ainsa the baal klal. She doesn't have any fear of her husband. And that's why a hasra is needed. However, a woman whose husband is around, and you would expect she has a built-in fear of going astray, of going into private with another man, if she goes into private with another man, even without having received a warning, she deserves to lose her ksuba. Let's take a look at Rashi, how he presents this. The less law aims so the ba'al. We're looking at Rashi a number of lines up from here. Ve'i lav de asru ba'al beidina, if the court wouldn't have warned her in those cases where the husband is out of commission, lo havalon lemiknasa, it wouldn't have been proper on our behalf to have caused her to lose the ksuba. The kevan de less la aimsa, since she doesn't have the fear of her husband, in tamo bedovari moveris al das, it's not so out of the ordinary. Tamo means something that's a source of wonderment. It's not something that's unusual for her to be lax in her expected modesty. The ein ze pritzusi yisert, it's not considered, even though it's lacking in modesty, it's not considered some type of overly free lifestyle. The husband is not around, so like, what do you expect? Avol misha bailo etzlovena yorea mimenu veveris aldas, a woman whose husband is around and she still is not fearful of him, and she violates the rules of modesty, pritzusa yaserta yispa, she's exceptionally loose. There's room to say that in a case like that, even without a warning, she loses the ksuba. So as we look over the sugya that we've just done, we don't have a rock-solid conclusion to our original question. Namely, a woman that you see behaving in less than total modesty, does she deserve to lose her ksuba even without a prior warning? Let's continue to the next question. Ibayaloho, overa saldas, verotza baal lekaimo. Mekaimo oieno mekaimo. A man who's married to a woman who's behaving immodestly, but the husband wants to continue living with her. Does he have that option? Or maybe not. Mi amrinon, do we say b'kpeda de baal tola rachmona, that the Torah makes marriage dependent on what is bothersome specifically to the husband? V'ha lo kapit, and in this case, he's not upset. He's not concerned, or overly concerned with her frivolous behavior, and therefore, since he is not concerned, and b'kpeda de baal tola rachmona, so he's able to continue living with her. Oy, doma. Kevon de kopid, kopid. Let's take a look at Rashi on this. Oh, doma. Kevon de kopid, kopid. Klomar. Kevon de urche de baal de mikbad bahachi. Since it's normal for husbands to, yes, be upset with such behavior. Al korche de hai nami havya kapeda ligabe. Therefore, even with regard to this particular lax type husband, he though is considered part of the norm, and it would be considered a kapeda, even though it's on a personal level he is not upset, but since it's the normal way of husbands to be upset with this, so it's considered a sufficiently say strong grounds for us to say that he shall not continue living with her. Ta Shema. And once again, we quote from our Mishnah. The Elu Shebeisdin Mekanin Lehem. The following are the examples where Beisdin warns the women. Mishin is Charish Bailo, Nishtato, Shoya, Bechovish, Beis Asurim. The E Amris, Rotza Baal, Lekaimo, Mekaimo. If that is true, that a husband whose wife is oiveres al das can continue living with her because he doesn't mind, so avdi beisdin midi, would beisdin do something to dilma lo nicho le labal that would not be to the liking of the husband? Here, what do we see? Basin is going to issue a warning, and if she violates the warning, so she'll become prohibited. maybe the husband doesn't mind it. So you have a case here of Beis Din doing something that the husband himself is not in approval of. And if we take a look at Rashi, across from here, he introduces a halachic concept. Avdina milsa de dilma lo nichole. Would Beis Din do something that maybe the husband is not satisfied with? Ve'heichanu nasim shluchim lo. How can we, the court, become an agent, bedover shu chovlo, for something that would be to his detriment? She'eno chofetz bo, something that he doesn't want. V'kaimo lon, we hold, the ain choven la'odom shelo b'fonav. One is not allowed to impose a loss to an individual if he is not actually present. And we had learned in our previous sukya that the certainly according to Abaye, that even without names, but the result of the court warning would seem to be that she'll become usher to the husband. Maybe he doesn't mind her frivolous behavior. The Gemara responds, don't worry about that concern, namely of ein choven lo adam ela b'fonav. Stama de milsa, the standard mindset, is kevon di oiveres aldasi meinach nichole. Since she is a violator of Jewish standard practice, she's a violator of modesty, the husband is happy with what the court is doing. We take a look at the Rashi on this. Correction, the Rashi doesn't deal with this point, but from the flow of the Gemara, you see that, in fact, as far as the problem of Ein Choven Lo Le'odem Shelo B'fonav, we can rely on the standard mindset. The Stama de Milsa is that husbands are happy with the Beis Din intervention. However, we can't conclude from here that if the husband should want to be with her, he would not be allowed to continue. Rather, we're going to conclude that it could be that if he wants to be with her, he could continue being with her. And becholzos, and even so, Beis Din will act, because in general, it's not something that would upset a husband. Ibayalaho, Baal Shemochal al Kinuyo. A husband who reversed. Mochal is literally to forego, to forgive on his having warned the wife. Kinuya Mochal o Eino Mochal. Is the warning considered voided or obliterated by his reversal or not? Mi amrinon bikinui de baal tolo rachmona ubal ho mochil le likinuyo? Do we say that the significance of the warning that a husband issues to his wife not to be in private with so and so is totally dependent on the husband himself, and since he is the one that issued the warning, he can also forego it? O dilma, Kevan de koni le meikara lo motzi mochil le. Or do we say that once he issued the warning, he put the process into motion, and he cannot reverse it anymore? Before we go further in the Gemara, Rashi foreshadows a point that's mentioned later in the Gemara, and across from here, Rashi shemochal al kinuyo. The thinking right now, the kaboy, the question is being raised, Bein Shemochal Kedem Stira, Bein Shemochal Li'achar Stira. The thinking is that the Mechila, the foregoing on the Kinui, is whether before she goes into private, or even after she goes into private. The Im Tim Tzilomar Oiveres Aldas, Shirotza L'Kaimo M'Kaimo. If you conclude, like we suggested just before this question, that a wife who's oiveres al das, but the husband wants to continue living with her, hani mili below kinui, that is true where there was no formal warning. It's just a case of a husband noticing that his wife behaves in a somewhat immodest fashion, but there was no formal warning. Aval hecha diiko kinui ustira, where there was a formal warning and her then going into privacy with the paramour, ferotso limcho, and the husband wants to forego his having warned her, mahu, what is the din? Mi okar kinuye v'sharyalei olav. Does the husband have the power to uproot the warning? And she would then be allowed to be with her husband. The whole point of the sota being prohibited to the husband is only in a case where there was a warning beforehand. But without that, all there is a sense of suspicion that she had gone into private with some man. We don't know for sure if anything took place. So can the husband uproot the fact that he warned her and she would be muteris, allowed him, or not? Now we turn back to the Gemara. Notice we have a new marking, this house shape. It's explained under the Mivneh, the structural note. The house will appear, if you skim ahead in the Gemara, you'll see it in two different directions. Haychachos, these are proofs, the Shnei Kivunim, B'Sheila, Im Mechiloso Chal. Does his reversal of the warning take hold or not? With the house appearing with the point facing up, that would be an indication that, in other words, the Gemara is taking a direction that the husband cannot be moichel. With the house in the inverted direction, you'll see that there the Gemara is taking the position that the Baal is able to be moichel. Ta Shema. Again, we quote from the Mishnah. This is the third time on this Omid that we're quoting from the same section of the Mishnah. V'elu shebeisd mekanin lahem mishin ischarish baylo nishtata oishoya chobush beveso asurin. V'i amres baal shemochal al kinuyo kinuyo mochul. If a husband has the power to retract his warning. So here we have a case where the husband, as we've indicated already before, he's not around, whether mentally or physically. Based in issues of warning, if you're going to say that the husband has the power to retract the warning, what are you going to have now? You're going to have based in issuing a warning, and then the husband coming along and reversing it. And that would be a zilzul, treating lightly, a degradation of the court. So we ask, and as we point out, if it were so that the husband could retract the kinui, avdinon midi deosi baal mochile, would we set into motion the court having the power to issue a warning that the husband could then later retract? That, as we said, would be a disparagement of Beis Din. The Gemara says this is not conclusive. It could be that a Baal could retract the warning. However, you don't have to worry about the zilzul of Beis Din, because stama demilso de maskim al das Beis Din. The normal procedure, the normal way of things, is that people accept the conclusions, the determinations made by the court. So, as we have seen in the past, this citation is not a conclusive answer to our question. We try again. Toshma. With regard to the sota that journeys with her husband to Yerushalayim, it says, "Umoisrin lo yishnei talmidei chachomim shema yovoy oleo baderech." The couple is chaperoned by two Torah scholars out of fear that if they're not there, he, the husband, might have intimacy with her on the way. And once a husband warns his wife not to go into private with so-and-so, and she does, that wife becomes also to her husband. If you were to think that the husband could retract his warning, let him simply retract his warning and have relations with his wife. Now, that doesn't seem to be an option, so that would indicate that he cannot be moichel. Once a warning is issued, that's it. It's locked in. The Gemara rejects that conclusion. Mai shno talmidei chachamim? What is the whole reason that talmidei chachamim's Torah scholars are sent to chaperone them? It's for this very reason. The gemiri, they are learned. The e boyi limival, that if that husband should want to have relations with his sota wife, Amrilei, they would tell him ahead of time, achlei likinuyach v'bala. First, retract your kinui, retract your warning, and then have intimacy with her. So that, at this point, it could very well be that a husband could retract the kinui. Toshma, the Omar of Yoshia. We have a point here. Notice we have a long marking. We've dashed underlined the main point, though. Rav Yoshia teaches Shloisha Dvarim Sochli Zira Me'anshe Yerushalayim. Three things that Zira taught me in the name of the citizenry of Yerushalayim. Number one, Baal Shemochal Al Kinuyoi Kinuyoi Mochal. And this, as we indicated a moment ago, this is the main point. This is why this section is brought in. A husband who retracts his kinui, his retraction is effective. As this source goes on, the rest is not relevant to our sugya, but nevertheless, since three things were taught, so the Gemara quotes it in its entirety. Therefore, if you were to, let us say, skip from this point till the end of this, we'll call it this bracketed section, we would continue the reading. Shma mino baal shemochal kinui kinui mochul shma mino. This conclusion that a husband can retract his warning and his retraction is effective, that is the conclusion. Okay, now that we have pointed out the superstructure, let's go over the bracketed section. What else did the Anshei Yerushalayim communicate to Zira? Zokein Mamre, Shirotsu Beisdin Limcholoi Moichalin Lo. Zokein Mamre is a scholar, Torah scholar, a judge, who happened to contest the conclusions reached in Halacha by the Sanhedrin Hagolo, by the chief court that sits in the Beis Hamikdash. That's a Zokin Mamre. And if he continues in his obstinance and his differing with the high court, he is liable to a death penalty through strangulation. That's a Zokin Mamre, we'll call him the rebellious elder. If the court should want to forego, forgive their honor, to compromise their honor, to be moichel to him, they can do so, and he would be spared the capital punishment. And number three, Uben Soru Mora Shirotsu Avivimo Limcholoi Mochalin Lo, the wayward son, Ben Soru Mora. The Torah describes him in detail, in other words, what he has done, and it's also discussed in Maseches Sanhedrin in further detail. The Ben Soru Mora, if his parents want to forego his the warning that they issued to him, which ultimately leads to his death when he continues his wayward practice is, if his parents want to be moichel, to be forgiving, mochelin lo, they can do so. So the teaching that the Anshi Shalayim had shared with Zeira, or I should say three things that Zeira, who taught Rav Yoshia, include these three areas of retraction of an original warning. Ukshabasi Eitzel Chavera Shebedoro, and when I arrived at my colleagues in the south, Al Shnaim Hoduli Val Zokin Mamri Lo Hoduli, on two of the three points they agreed, but on the point concerning the Zokin Mamri they did not agree. In other words, if you have a scholar who is ruling against the high court, we want to see him executed. Basically, we don't accept any forgiveness. Shelo yarbu machlekes b'Yisrael, and the reason we are so firm in with regard to the Zokin Mamre is because we don't want to have increase of disagreement and controversy in Israel. So here you have someone who was fomenting a controversy. Even if the court appears forgiving, it's not in our national best interest, and therefore forgiving of the Zokin Mamre would not take effect. What do we see from this discussion? Shmamino Baal Shemochal Kinuyoy Kinuyoy Mochal, a husband who retracts his warning, it's effective, Shmamino, and that is conclusive. Pligi Bo Rav Achav Ravino. We continue in the same topic of Baal Shemochal Kinuyo. Rav Acha and Ravino have a disagreement. Chad Omar Kedem Shtira Mochal Lacha Shtirena Mochal. The husband's retraction of his warning is effective, provided he retracted before the wife went into seclusion with the paramour. However, if the wife went ahead into seclusion, and only after that the husband retracts his kinui, his warning, it's not effective. The retraction is not effective. And she becomes also, she becomes a sota. V'chad omar li'achar stiro nami mochel. Even after she goes into private with so-and-so and the sota process gets started, the husband can nevertheless retract his warning. U'mistabro kemand yomar eino mochel. It's most likely like the approach of the first side of the first opinion, that he cannot retract his warning after stira. Mimai, how does the Gemara know that is mistabro? That's the most logical or likely approach to take, that he cannot, the husband himself cannot retract the warning at that late stage. Mideka mahadri rabbonon the Rebbe Yossi. If you're asking how does the Gemara know that, well, they know it from the way the rabbonon responded to Rebbe Yossi, which is dependent on, of course, continuing in the Gemara. Till the end of this, we have a long answer marking, and you'll see what we mean by the rabbonon's response to Rebbe Yossi. Desanya, we have a source, and this source features the situation of the sota couple going to Yerushalayim in order to drink for the woman to drink the sota waters. Rabbi Yossi Omer Ba'alo Ne'eman Oleo. Rabbi Yossi says that the couple do not need to be chaperoned. We can rely on the husband that he will not have relations with her en route. Mikal v'chomer. Through Kal v'chomer logic, we know we can rely on the husband. And what's the Kal v'chomer logic? Uma nida shehi b'koreis. Mind you, nida, a man's wife that's currently prohibited because she's experiencing the female monthly cycle. A husband that would violate that would be guilty of koreis. And yet, by law, neman olel, even though you're dealing with a very serious type of offense, nida, we trust the husband to be alone with his wife. Sota shehi balav lo kol shekein. Sota, which is a lower level area of halacha, it's a lav. In other words, for a husband to have intimacy with his wife after the kinui yistira would be a mere negative violation, not carrying with it kores. So we all the more so can, we certainly can trust him to be alone with her. That's Reb Yossi's point. Omru lo lo. The Rabbanan responded and said to Reb Yossi, not so. Imamr's benida shekein yesh lo heter. Toimar besoito shein lo heter. In the case of the nida, you know why we rely on the husband? Because there is a, we'll say, a point of return, meaning every month, under normal circumstances, the woman, the wife, is prohibited for approximately 2 weeks, without getting into details of the rules of nida. He knows that after 2 weeks, she'll be available to him once again on an ongoing basis. That's yesh lo heter. She has a point of permissibility. However, in the case of the soita, it might turn out that she is guilty, and she won't be permitted to her husband ever again. And as a result of that, there is concern on our part, say the Chachomim to Reb Yossi, she shouldn't be left alone with him. Now, we dashed on the main point. How is the Sota described? As Ein Lo Heter. So she represents something that has no further permission. V'yamris lachar stira mochulo. If you'll say that after she had received the warning and gone into private, the husband still has the power to retract his kinui, Mishkachas lo tiyesh lo heter. You wouldn't describe the Sota en route to Jerusalem to drink the waters as someone that is ein lo heter. She has heter. The boy mochil lo l'kinui boil. The husband could retract the kinui and have relations with her. And yet the source doesn't say that. The source declares that she, the Sota, is ein lo heter. Elo shmamino, the achar stira eino mochol shmamino. Therefore, we can conclude with certainty that after seclusion, the husband's retraction of the warning is ineffective. Shmamino. This is conclusive. Mesu ba'alehen. We saw in the Mishnah that if the husbands of the Sota, that is, husbands in general of Sotos, were to die before the woman drinks, Beis Shammai holds, notlin ksubaso velo shosos. Beis Shammai is of the opinion that they are entitled to receive their ksuba. Don't forget, we have a woman concerning whom we're in doubt. Was she faithful or was she immoral? She gets her ksuba and does not drink. Drinking would take place only if there is a husband present. Ubeis Hillel omrim, oi shoisois, oi loi, noitlois ksubasan. Beis Hillel says, since they're not drinking, they are not to receive the ksuba. B'mai komifligi. What is the basis of this machlokes? Beis Shammai Savri, shtar ha'oimed ligvois kegovui domi. A document, a bill of collection. For example, in the case of someone who extended a loan, and he received in exchange for the loan a contract, a bill of collection entitling him to collect his loan. That's called a shtar ha'oimed ligvois. In our case, the woman, a married woman, has a ksuba entitling her to receive funds from her husband's properties. So she holds a shtar, and she is the one who is destined to collect. In this case, her husband died. So as an almona, as a widow, she would expect to collect money. Okay, so there's a doubt, was she faithful or not? If she was immoral, so she would lose, but we don't know. So we have a shtar, ha'oimed likvos, that's destined to be collected, according to Beis Shammai, kegavui domi. It's considered as if it's already collected. And therefore, in a state of doubt, and you have to choose who is considered having stronger possession of the properties in question. According to Beis Shammai, she has the stronger claim, the stronger possession, if you will. And therefore, in a case of doubt, she gets it. If the heirs of the husband want to challenge her, so they'll have to bring proof that she was mizana, that she was immoral. Otherwise, in the absence of such proof, she gets to collect. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Ubeis Hillel Savri, Beis Hillel who disagree hold Shtar Amid Ligvoslav Kegavui Domi, a shtar that entitles someone to collect, it's nevertheless not considered as if he's already collected. So we have once again our doubt. She doesn't have the upper hand. Maybe she was immoral, and therefore we have an issue of a doubt. And the principle says Ein Sofik Motzi Midei Vadei. That you can see in the Rashi, that when there's a matter of doubt, doubt does not supersede certainty. And as far as we're concerned, the heirs of the husband are in certain possession. They definitely possess their father's property. The question is, can she come and take away from them? But well, she's coming from a claim of doubt. We don't know whether she was immoral or not. And Ein Sofek Motzi Midei Vadai. And if she wants to collect her ksuba, she will have to bring proof that she was not mizana, that she was not immoral. Muberes Chavero V'chule, the Mishnah on Daf Chav Dalet went on to say that an Eilinis Uzakeno Sheina Ruya Lele Lo Notlos Ksuba V'lo Shosos. These are examples of women that don't drink the sota water and they don't collect a ksuba. Reb Lozer in the Mishnah disagreed and said that even if these women can't bear children, he can take another wife and have children through her. Therefore, these are considered royal iskayim. They are fit to continue living with him. On the side of our Gemara, we have a topic heading: Eilinis Yishoisa Eloi, the Eilinis. This is a woman who never matured properly and was never capable of bearing children, in distinction to the Zekena and Shena Ruyolele, who were women that were able to give birth, but in the course of time they lost the ability. Rav Nachman opens up the Gemara with a long point, so take note of that. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabo Bar Avua, Machloikes Be'akoro Uzekena. The Machlokes in the Mishnah between the Chacham and Reb Elozer concerns an Akora. This is a woman who is, Akora means barren, and Zekena, she is older, she's aged. I just want to return our attention to Rashi on Daf Chof Dalin Omen Aleph. The Sheina Ruya Lele, the Rashi I'm looking at is more than halfway down the narrow lines. The Sheina Ruya Lele is what we're referring to here as the Akora. Sheshosis Kois Ikrin. She drank some type of potion that renders a woman barren. The Asuros Lekaimo Lemi She'ein Lo Bonim. Someone who is currently, a man who is currently childless, shall not maintain these kind of women. Sharein Instav Yisrael Pirib Riba. They have a commandment to procreate. So according to Rashi on the Mishnah, the discussion seems to be centered on a man, on a husband that doesn't have children yet. So Rav Nachman tells us that the machlokes concerns two of the three, the akora and the zakena. But the islandis, aval islandis divrei hakol, everyone agrees. Even Rebbe Lozer holds lo yishoisa v'lo yinoitelis ksubosa. Shenemar, the posuk says v'niksa v'nizra zera. The woman who turns out to be guilt-free in the case of the sota, it says she's cleansed and she bears seed. Mi shedarko lahazria. Someone, a woman who is in general capable of procreation. True that in the course of time or as a result of some incident she became unfit, but she was capable. Yotzazu, to the exclusion of the idleness, she'ein darko lazria. It's not her way. She was never capable of procreation because she never developed into a healthy, mature female. So Rav Nachman's point is that regarding the islandess, everyone will agree, even Rebbe Lozer, that she does not drink. Rebbe Lozer, who said regarding the zakena and the akora, she can be made to drink. As far as the issue of doesn't the husband have to get rid of her? No, he doesn't have to get rid of her because he can always marry another woman and have children with the other woman. Therefore, there is sense in her drinking, according to Rebbe Lozer, that if she turns out to be innocent, she continues living with him, and that's perfectly all right as far as the child issue is concerned, so he can marry another woman. The idleness, on the other hand, her lacking isn't from the fact that he can or cannot marry another woman. Even if he is able to marry another woman, the idleness doesn't drink because of an inherent deficiency. And this you can see in the Rashi, Aval idleness nihinami duruya lekaima. Granted, he can maintain her as far as Rebbe Lozer is concerned. Mihu lo shasya, she doesn't drink mehai taima duruya leheroyan v'yinan. We require for drinking a type of woman that had a connection to pregnancy in potential. The akora yidei maka, the akora, she lost her pregnancy abilities because of some type of injury. Uzakena, an elderly woman, mino debas heroyin, he kodim lochein. She was part of the group of women that bore children before she became aged. Avalilinis mi betinima lukiyahi, from birth she was already deficient. Velo chazia, and therefore she's not fit for drinking, even according to Rebbe Lozer. We continue in the Gemara, Meisvei, and here we have a long question. A large section of the Gemara, though, you're going to see, is in brackets. Quite a long section. Use your bracket length indicator, and you'll find yourself going down quite a ways down, Chof Vav Me'alef. Here is a brilliant illustration of the value of Gemara markings. You notice Meisvei means we're raising a kasha on Rav Nachman. Where do you see the kasha on Rav Nachman? When you go to the end of this Tanaic source, it reads Va'ailinis oi shoisa oi loi noitelas subasa. Here you have a Tanaic source saying the Ailinis, either she drinks, and if she doesn't, she loses the ksuba. So we have the case of the islandess, and it says in this source she does drink. That, and the Gemara points out, kotoni mia islandess, and tufta de Rav Nachman. This would seem to be a refutation of what Rav Nachman said. He had said that everyone agrees she does not drink. The Gemara will then give an answer. So that having been said, you realize that everything up till that point is essentially tangential. Now we continue in the Gemara within the brackets. Meisvei. We're asking the question, as we said, on Rav Nachman. Hamekane la rusasa l'shmeres yofam shelo. A person who issues a kinui, a warning to the arusa or to a shemeres yofam that he's anticipating marrying. Imachelo konsa. Nistura, if before he consummated his marriage with the Arusa, or the Yavam with the Yavama, she went into private with the man with the paramour concerning whom the husband had issued a warning. Loi shoysa veloi noiteles subasa. Now you'll notice we have a Roman numeral number one here, because later in the source, if you skip ahead, it's always good to have your eye on structure. If you skip ahead, skim down on Chav Vav Amud Aleph, do you see where a Roman numeral number 2 appears? At that point, the Gemara says, "Afal mekane l'rusos shemes yavam shelo umishe konsa nistara." So the contrast here is, at what point was the stira, was the seclusion? So the first part of the source talks about the seclusion taking place before the Orus or the Yavam consummated the marriage. So if the stira took place at that point, so the source says she doesn't drink and she doesn't get a ksuba. But when you get to point Roman numeral number 2, there the drinking becomes an option. Let's continue on the top of Chav Vav Amud Aleph. Muberes chaveru menekes chaveru. This is the case, we've discussed this in the past, a man who married either a pregnant woman or a nursing woman. He married her prematurely. He should not have married her. He should have waited till the child reaches 2 years of age, 24 months, which should go by. So his marriage to her is sinful, and he has to divorce her. He's not to remain with her. Lo shosos velo notlos ksuba divrei Rebbe Meir. She is not given to drinking the sota water, and she loses the ksuba. The sota water drinking, as we've mentioned many times, is designed to hopefully find her innocent, so that she can go back with her husband, who will live happily ever after. But here you have a marriage that shouldn't have taken place. Shahoya Rabbi Meir Omer, lo yisa adam uberes chaveru menechas chaveru. Rabbi Meir has taught that a man should not marry a pregnant woman, pregnant from someone else, or nursing a child that she had with someone else. And if this fellow violated the law and married her before the kid reached 2 years of age, Yoytzi velo yachzir oylamis. He is to divorce her and never take her back. Well, by describing that marriage as such, that's to be divorced and never take her back, we understand full well why Rabbi Meir says there's no drinking. V'chachomim oimrim yoytzi ukshiyaki azmano lichnos yichnos. V'chom disagree, and they say it is a marriage that can be maintained. Just put it on delay. Divorce her now, and then when the child reaches 2 years of age, 24 months of age, then take her back. V'horoive shenosa akora uzikena v'ein lo isha ubona meikora. Roive is a young man who is described here as not having had a wife and children from the outset. Rather, this young man, married an akora, a barren woman, or an older woman, and he, v'ein lo isho bona meikar, and he doesn't have a wife and kids from beforehand, lo shoysa v'lo notelas ksuba. She is not going to drink, because, as we said, this is not a marriage that will be maintained. And therefore, she doesn't get a ksuba either. Rebbe Lozer Omer, Yochol Huli Sacheres Velifrois Velirbois Heimeno. As we've seen in the Mishnah, Rebbe Lozer is not fazed by the fact that this particular wife is not capable of bearing children, because the man can always marry another woman. Therefore, this woman, the Akor of the Skena, is a woman that is fit to be maintained by the young man, and therefore she has the option of drinking. Aval hamekane la rusas shemeres yavam shalai umishe konsa nisra. He issued the warning while they were still arusa or shemeres yavam. So that was after the warning. Then the husband went ahead and married them, consummated the marriage, and after that nistra. Then she went into private with the paramour. Oh shoisa oiloi noiteles ksuba. Either she drinks, and if she refuses to drink, she does not get the ksuba. Muberes mikos asmoi, a man who has a wife that he impregnated, or she is nursing his child. Oi shoisa oiloi noiteles ksubasa. She drinks, or she foregoes the ksuba. Horeva shenosa akoro zekeno v'yushlo isho bonim. A young man that married an akora, a barren woman or an older woman, but this young man happened to have another wife and children. So as far as the urgency of puravu, it's not pressing. He's already fulfilled the mitzvah. What is the connection now between the roiva and the akora or zakena? Oh shoisa oiloi neteles ksuba. Either she drinks or she foregoes her ksuba. And as we've said, the reason here she is given to drink is because since he has kids, the young man's marriage to the zakena is a type of marriage that can be maintained. Eishes mamzer lemamzer, v'eishes nosin lenosin, v'eishes ger, v'eved mishukor, v'ailinis, oi shoisa oi loi noiteles ksuba. These are legitimate marriages. And Aishas Mamzer Lamamzer, that means Aishas Mamzer is a woman who is legally fit to marry a Mamzer, and she's married to a Mamzer. Or an Aishas Nosin is married to a Nosin. Or the wife of a Ger, or freed slave, Va'ailinis, Oishaisa Oiloi Neteles Ksuba. Either they drink, and if they don't, if they refuse to drink, they lose the ksuba. Kotoni miha. It says, however, in this source, Ilanis, the Ilanis drinks. Tiuftei de Rav Nachman. Is this not a refutation of Rav Nachman? Amar loch Rav Nachman, Tanoihi. Rav Nachman will answer that the issue is a machlokis Tanoim. Vano di Amri, ki hai Tana disanyan. I hold like the following Tana that holds, even according to Rebbe Lozar, an Ilanis does not drink. That was Rav Nachman's original point. That even though Rav Elazar and the Chama have an argument regarding the Akora and the Zekena, when it comes to the Ilanis, even Rav Elazar will say she doesn't drink because of her inherent problem. The Sanya of Shimon Elazar Omer, Ilanis lo shoisa v'lo neteles ksuba. Ilanis does not drink, and she doesn't receive a ksuba. Shenemar v'nixuv v'nizra zera. Misha darka Lazria Yotza Zu Shein Dak Lazria. The pasuk that has relevance to the parsha of Sota describes the woman as being cleansed in the event she is innocent and then will bear children. So the pasuk is describing a woman who in general would be able to bear children, to the exclusion of the Ilanis who does not bear children. So, what Rav Nachman the Amora said, that the Ilanis, according to all opinions, will not be subject to drinking, is in accordance with Reb Shimon ben Elazar, who would have as his version of the earlier Machlokes Tanoim, Reb Elazar and Chachamim, saying this very point, that the Ilanis is Loi Shoisa. The Rabbonon who disagree with Rav Shimon Elazar, the big source, the long source that we had before that says that the Ilanis does drink. What did they learn from this pasuk that seemed to exclude the Ilanis? So, my Avdilei, what do they do with this pasuk? Miboya lehu lichnisanya. They use the pasuk for what's taught in the following source. The nixav in Israel Zera, the sota, when found innocent, so she's cleansed and she bears children. What does this tell us? Shim hoisa kora nifkedes de Rebbe Akiva. If the sota happened to be a woman that was barren, but as a result of going through this tumultuous, dramatic ceremony of the sota woman, she merits now having children, so that if she was barren, she will become pregnant. She'll be able to bear a child. Amar lo Rabbi Shmuel, im kain, if that's the case, then yisteru kol ha'akoros, then you know what? All barren women will go into private with other men, other than their husbands, and be subjected to the the sota ritual, v'yifkidu, and become impregnated and become pregnant. Vezu hoyel v'lo nistro efsida, and any modest woman who wouldn't think of going into private, she'll end up losing out. She'll remain akora. Well, im kain, the question then is, ma talmud lomar v'nixo v'nizra zera. If you're not, if you, Rabbi Shmuel, are going to challenge Rabbi Akiva, so then what do you, Rabbi Shmuel, do with this pasuk? Answer: Shim hoisi yoledes bitzar yoledes berevach. If before the sota ceremony she happened to bear children with great pain, now after having gone through this trauma of sota, of the sota parsha, she will be able to bear children berevach with ease. Nikevois yoledes chom, if she was a woman that bore female children, she'll now bear male children. Tzorim yoledes arukim, if originally her children were very short in stature, they will be tall. Aruch is long. Shorim yoledes levanim, if they had a poor complexion, they will now, she will now bear children with a very bright complexion. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.